This show is brought to you in part by patreon.com/TMS. That's where you can go and throw us a couple extra bucks a month. No big deal for all this great content we give you each and every day of the month of the year. It's a lot of stuff and we don't ask much. So go check that out. Check out some of the levels and the rewards. Might be something in there for you. But anything you can do would help us a lot. That's patreon.com/TMS. Coming up on TMS, we need to avenge the Avengers.
A Rolling Stone gathers much cash.
Google wants to register your .com.
Let's get that predator back ASAP.
George Lucas chooses wind over hippies.
Recommendals.
Tom's tech time.
Your emails and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
It's Penny, Mickey. Thanks for the gumball. Penny for the gumball, Freddy. Thanks for the gumball. Penny for a gumball, bye-bye.
Gumball banks with new sugarless gumball. You can get refills that fill up Mickey Mouse, Popeye, Fred Flintstone. As the gumballs go down, the pennies go up.
What are you going to do with all your pennies, Popeye?
Buy more gumballs.
Yeah, but never do. Me too.
Mickey Mouse, Popeye, and Fred Flintstone gumball banks with sugarless gumballs. Refills sold separately.
Bluey.
The Morning Stream. It's Totes Fast.
It is Totes Fat, and welcome to what we would refer to as a Wednesday edition of the Morning Stream. It is TMS.
Is that what we'd call this?
Yeah, why not?
That's
why
how
not?
This will go down in the annals of history.
I'm a little punchy today because I got in a dumb argument on Twitter this morning. I shouldn't do those in the morning,
no,
dude.
No.
Why do I do that in the morning? I should save it for later, but I will say it's Wednesday, June 25th, 2014, and then I'll tell you about the Twitter fight. Okay. I got called a person. I was referred to as being biased towards World of Warcraft. And I said, I know. I am completely biased towards World of Warcraft. What do you mean? I have a podcast nigh on 8 years old that covers the game, and I have a lot invested in that game, and I really like it. And while it has its problems, I'm a huge fan and probably always will be. Yes, I am biased towards that game. I don't know why that's a problem or B, a conversation piece. But then again, all right, this guy was totally he's
like
nice.
The old Republic, because you're biased.
In the end of the conversation, it's all good. It's all water under the bridge. Uh-huh. But I admit sometimes people push certain buttons that get me a little hot and bothered, because it came from a comment we said on TMS yesterday, which was people, when they're super invested in something, they rarely back off from that, right? Mm-hmm. So if you're really, really into being... I don't know what my references were yesterday, but let's say you're really into being a Raiders fan. Nobody's going to call you down from that Raiders fan post.
Right.
Sinister ways, if you really were really into what Hitler was selling in the 1930s and 40s, then it was going to be hard for you to back off of your Nazi past, because you were going to be a big believer in what Hitler was doing, right? That's the more sinister, life-altering version of what I'm talking about.
Right.
I stand by that. That's what bias is. That's the definition of bias.
Exactly.
So they then say, well, yeah, you say that, but then you're totally biased about WoW. Well, yes, I am. It's a weird thing to say.
You're totally biased towards covers, Brian.
Right. You're biased towards music. I'm biased towards, I don't know, Saturday morning cartoons, I guess, or whatever. Right. Everyone's biased towards everything. So anyway, I appreciate the exchange because I like a good conversation. All I'm saying here is, I shouldn't do it in the morning before a show. That's all.
Yeah. Gets you a little riled up.
Yeah. And it gets me off focus. And, you know, I'm not thinking about what I should be thinking about, which is this here audio video program we create every day called The Morning Stream. So welcome back, everybody. I'm Scott Johnson. That's Brian Ibbett.
Oh, hello.
Hi. Patreon.com. Oh, go ahead.
You know what I won't be doing?
But what's that?
I won't be bringing any alcohol to Snowbird.
Good. Because I have an announcement to make.
Oh, really? What's that?
Big surprise, everybody. Let me just clear my throat. Do not smuggle booze into Snowbird. Thank you.
See, I thought that me saying that was going to be enough.
No. Nope.
It wasn't enough?
Nope. Had to add to it. There's plenty up there to get. We don't want to jeopardize anyone's liquor licenses, so please don't bring your own.
Will they have Fireball whiskey? Is my question.
I don't know
Do
what
I need
that
to
is.
Call ahead?
You might have to call. I don't know what that is. Is that a brand? Is that a kind of whiskey?
It is a brand. It's a brand of whiskey that tastes just like those little Red Hot candies.
Oh, I like those.
Yeah.
Little Red Hot candies.
Yeah. You'd probably like Fireball whiskey if it weren't whiskey.
If it weren't whiskey, I want, but it's only one brand of it, or is it can Jack Daniel's make a Fireball whiskey?
No, that's a brand. However, there are other cinnamon whiskeys out there, but Fireball,
that's the trademark name they have.
Fireball is like the of all the ones I've tried, and I've tried quite a few. Mm. There's one called Hot Damn that's a similar kind of thing that's almost as good as Fireball.
Hot damn. Man, these Hot little damn. These funny little liquors and beers and yes. things with their names kills me. We're going to call it Hot Damn. The Devil's Underbelly or, you know, whatever.
Right.
Okay. Anyway, so we're here. We're doing it. We're doing what we got to do. And it's all brought to you by Patreon.com. Thank you for supporting us there at Patreon.com/TMS. It's where you can contribute very small amounts of money on a monthly basis for lots and lots and lots of content. Mm-hmm. If you appreciate what we do at all, kick in a little bit. We would really, really appreciate it. All right, Brian, I got to tell you, yeah. I had an experience yesterday. You know, the whole point of the top of the show is to talk about these experiences.
Yeah, it is. It is. I wish more things happened to me.
Well, they don't, you know, I,
you know what?
You need to walk your dog around here, I guess, or something.
Right? I unscrewed all of the bookshelves that I had on the wall that held all my little lead figures, moved them all into a glass case that I bought at IKEA, and then patched up those holes, and I'm going to paint it today.
Uneventful experience?
Like uneventful experience. Okay. Nothing. I didn't interact with any angry people or weird drive-through fast food experiences, nothing.
Are you a little sad like I am? Because I don't eat fast food much anymore. I don't get to have those experiences anymore.
Oh, shoot. Well, then I need to up the pace.
Up your intake. Yeah. Get over there.
All right. Okay.
Get moving. I mean, we went to In-N-Out yesterday for Kim, not for me. but nothing happened there. They're too efficient there.
For Kim.
Yeah. She got a double-double, but a protein style, so it didn't have the bread.
Oh, with the lettuce wrap.
Yeah, yeah. She likes that a lot. I can't eat those anymore.
People, don't bring your In-N-Out burger to Snowbird.
Well, you can bring it. Just have it be in your gut already. So I had a weird experience yesterday with the Avengers, and this is going to sound a little bit weird, but sometimes I need background noise, and sometimes podcast music and other audio stuff isn't going to do it for me. Mm-hmm. I need to have something happening. And usually it's some old TV show like Kojak or Columbo or just something that can play back there. Mm-hmm. And you can just loosely follow these dumb plots and it's no big deal.
Right. And one more question. I got one more question for you.
He always had one more question.
Yeah.
And it was always the question that solved the case. But anyway.
It was always the important question, right?
Yeah. Such a trope for that show. But anyway, I've done that recently with that very show. And it's a good background thing when I've got to get a bunch of art done. And it's I don't know. It goes back to days when I do that, which is TV would be on, and for whatever reason it provides focus for me, and in a weird way it should provide distraction, but it gives me focus. Yesterday I was out of ideas as to what I would have as my background noise to the stuff I had to get done, so I put on, for no reason other than there it was on the front of Netflix, I just started up The Avengers. Okay that seems weird, and I've seen it like 4 or 5 times. So it's not like I need to pay much attention to it. So I thought, all right, well, this is just happening in the background. And that ended up being a very strange experience because I hadn't seen it since Winter Soldier. Okay. That makes a big difference. If you go back to Avengers after Winter Soldier, Captain America 2,
yeah,
you'll be surprised how many turncoats are all up in the Avengers doing regular work, like sleeper cell style.
Right.
Totally on the team, you know. Working their cans off, trying to help Nick Fury get the business done up in the helicarrier. Like,
yeah,
it's on for those guys. And then you look at their faces and go, "You bastard!
You know right now.
You know right now. Yeah, you're still. I mean, you're scrambling to keep the thing in the air while Tony Stark's out there doing the spin job or whatever.
Right.
But you're going to break free of all this soon and whisper Hail Hydra in everybody's ear soon.
There's even one of the one shots. I was surprised they pulled somebody out of one of the one shots, the Marvel one shots that come on the DVDs and the Blu-rays. Mm.
Did they do
the DVDs and the Blu-rays and the whatnot? But yeah, one of the Marvel one shots features very prominently a character who is a turncoat.
Is he bald with glasses? Just curious.
He is bald with glasses. Okay, yeah, that's exactly what it is.
That guy pissed me off.
Spoiler.
That's all right. That just sounds like I'm describing you when you read or something like
that. Well, I did say it was sit well, and I said it 4 or 5 times.
Oh, you did? Well. Oh, all right. Sit well. Nice. Nicely done.
It just didn't sit well with me, is what I'm saying.
Oh, I see now.
Yeah.
Well, sit and have a listen anyway. Yeah, that was one thing. That was one thing that really stuck out. I was like, whoa, everybody here. Like, this room is filled with turncoats, right? Mm-hmm. Then I'd forgotten just how much there is only one moment in that whole movie that I hate.
Okay.
Hate it. Because the rest of the movie, I think, is brilliant. One of my favorite action movies of all time.
The secret Obey Henry.
No. That, I love that scene. Although it's right around that this happens.
People, I dropped a bunch of people who just opened up their text file on their computer.
Well, at least Iagovas or somebody like that did, but the two or three people who give a crap. But yeah, it was right, or ironic name. Was that the one I was always after?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's the scene where Tony, and it's in the trailer. This is no spoiler, and it doesn't matter, whatever.
Yeah, Avengers has been out for a while.
I think we can 2012, spoil. We're good. Hey, wait, hold on. Don't go anywhere. Hold on, I'm going to run something right here real quick. Okay, I'm going to call. We're going to get on the phone. I'm going to call Vince Gilligan.
Oh, okay.
I'm going to ask him if he thinks it's okay to talk about Avengers spoilers. So hold on. Hello, Vince Gilligan.
Hold on. Sorry, my. There we go. Hello.
So Vince, I'm wondering.
Hey. I want to thank you for giving me time to get to the phone.
So Vince, welcome to the show. We like to check in once in a while and make sure we're living up to the standard you've set forth so proudly and elegantly regarding spoilers in modern media. The Avengers has been out since May of 2012.
That's right. Yeah. So it's well out of my 2 weeks of so I can get the whistle. On the phone here, it doesn't show up as much. I sound a little bit like Ronald Reagan.
A little bit, yeah. Jelly beans and
it's well outside of the 2 weeks that we normally.
Oh, you're the greatest president we ever had, says all Republicans. So that was Vince Gilligan. He thinks we're okay, so we're gonna go for it. It's actually no spoiler anyway. This is stupid that I went through all that.
Exactly.
So there's the scene where Tony's around the building and he's got one of those giant flying alien like slugs behind him. Uh-huh. And he says, all right, you guys, I'm bringing the party to you. Remember that?
Oh, yeah, yeah, right.
And he
yeah.
comes swinging around there and the huge roar comes flying out behind him and they're heading toward the ground where Bruce Banner has yet to do his quick transformation into mm-hmm. the Hulk.
Right, he's in the process of hitting something, turning into the Hulk.
Yes, because he's down there going, the trick is that I'm angry all the time or whatever, and then he turns and just turns all green, rips his shirt shreds, and then he stops that thing by punching it in the face, and it grinds to a halt. You remember that? So that's what's about to happen. This thing's about to come. Tony's flying it that direction. It's about to come down that low. We're about to get the Hulk going Hulk, and... Captain America, who else is down there? I guess Black Widow and Hawkeye are down
there.
Hawkeye,
yeah.
They're all hanging out. So down it comes, and he says, Tony Stark says, hey guys, I'm bringing the party to you. And Black Widow, a.k.a. Scarlett Johansson, a.k.a. Skojo, says to the camera, I don't see how this is a party.
Really? That is such a throwaway line. I can't even remember her saying it.
I hate it so much. You know what? I wonder if YouTube, someone's got to have this on YouTube. I should have queued it up in Netflix. This is the most, in the way she says it,
yeah.
They shouldn't have had it in there. Because the rest of that movie is chock full of great Joss Whedon moments and lines and dialogue.
I'm finding it. I'm almost in disbelief that that line is in there because I honestly don't remember it. And it just feels like, you know, superhero banter is superhero banter. You don't spoil the improv of superhero banter.
Right. I agree with you. I agree with you. So here's what they did. Here it comes. All right. Let me skip ahead here. Here we go. There's Thor. Thor comes down.
How do we do this?
As a team. I have unfinished business with Loki.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, here we go. There's Banner. All right, Banner walks up.
We could use Adam.
We could use him. We could. Okay, here he goes.
Banner, just like you said.
All right.
Tell him to suit up. I'm bringing the party to you.
All right, got that? Bringing the party to you. Here comes the big old thing. Here you go.
I don't see how that's a party.
Oh, gosh!
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, okay, I do remember this.
I don't see how that's a party, Brian!
Because it's not...
I hate it.
I'm now switching... I'm switching back over to defending it now because it's more like a... Yeah, that's not fun. I don't want that. That's the kind of... The tone of it. It's not like a... what are you talking about, a party? We're out here fighting Chitauri,
yeah,
Tony.
Yeah, but the reason it doesn't work is, of course, he doesn't mean it's a real party. He's in a he's in his suit flying around with giant slugs. Everyone knows this. They just got done killing a thousand...
No, that's what I'm saying. Is that she's saying, yeah, this does not seem fun. I don't want this.
Yeah, oh, and I know what she's saying. It's terrible. It's terrible. It's badly delivered.
I'm going to defend it. I'm going to defend it because upon hearing it, talk about, you know, when you're describing it, I was all on your side, man. Now that I've heard it, no way. Goodbye. You're on your own.
You need
there.
To watch Team it again, Johnson. Too, because her face bugs me, too. It was like a moment of, like, B-roll that late in editing, they went, you know what, just put it in. Oh, it sucks.
Come
sucks.
On. And John Strickland brought up a line that I hate that deserves your ire, that okay. deserves all this.
Okay, give me that one. What do you got?
It's the X-Men. It's from the first X-Men movie, and it's where Storm says, you know what happens to toads that get struck by lightning?
Hold on.
And it's something like it. Toad. Same thing as everything else that gets out. I can't even remember the line. It was such a...
I'm going to find
such
it.
A, yeah, please do.
Okay, because that's dumb, too. I'm with you on that one, Strickland. You're right. It's just that, you know, it's easy after you see these things five or six times to kind of pick them apart. I can tell you the one, well, maybe not the one, but a Joss Whedon film that I've never, ever had a complaint about. Oh, here we go. Oh, great. Someone filmed it with a video camera. I hate those.
In this day and age.
Shouldn't they kick? But YouTube have higher standards. What are you doing? Yeah. All right. Well, I can't find it. But the point is this. Oh, X-Men. Versus Toad. Storm versus Toad. Here he goes, another one.
And John Strickland.
Oh, it's the same deal. Someone's hand camera. All right. What?
And John Strickland says that Joss Whedon wrote the lightning line as well.
Which one was that? I don't remember the line.
The line that you were trying to find, which is Storm saying, you know what happens to toads who get struck by lightning? The same thing that happens to everything else.
I didn't know he wrote that or did treatment on the screenplay. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Apparently well, that's so. Interesting. Okay. Well, then there's two strikes against you, Joss.
Joss, come on, if you're going to set up a joke, polish it off.
Yeah.
But I disagree with you on the Black Widow line.
I don't see how this is a party. Oh, that's so clever. You freaking suck. That sucks.
She's basically saying, the thing you're bringing here, that's no party. If that's a party,
oh, I know
I don't
she's,
want it.
I know exactly what she's saying. It may be delivery. It could be timing. It could be your face.
Every time I try to describe
it,
I hate
it. Oh my gosh, I hate it. I hate it. All right, so she's no Tony Stark. Let's put it that way. He's supposed to have lines like that.
Well, yeah.
All right, let's move on. We got Daryl to call, and there ain't no stopping him. He's a whirlwind of hurt and pain. We got to get him in here and make the magic happen.
Wow.
You know, you don't want to cross Daryl, my experience.
A whirlwind of hurt and pain.
Hurt and pain, baby. Hurt and pain. We'll get his opinion, too. I'd like to know where he's at on this. Because, you know, inquiring minds and all that. It is time for Stump a Trek Nerd, and it's brought to you by...
Sponsored by The River Maiden. I don't need to say sponsored, because you just said that part. The River Maiden. A model, or a novel... River Maiden, a novel by Meredith R. Stoddard. Celtic legends collide with modern sensibilities in this contemporary Gothic tale. Sarah McAlpin is a folklorist, tracing the roots of a Scottish folk song she learned as a child. But her academic journey will uncover some tragic childhood memories and unlock a dark destiny set in motion generations ago. The River Maiden is available in ebook from Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes, and Smashwords.
Nice. Daryl, you there?
Smash. Yes.
All right, Daryl, where are you at on this whole thing? Is that a dumb line or a good line?
I find it somewhat neutral.
Oh. Way to sit on that Federation fence, Carol.
Yeah, I need some. He's in the neutral zone is where he's at. What were we going to say?
I don't hate it, but it doesn't bother me. Zone.
Get it? Neutral zone? Get it?
Well done, yes.
All right, so you don't care, and that's fine. I feel like that would be where I wish I was. I'm jealous of you. I'd like to think that line is not the worst thing in the movie, because I really, it's the only blotch.
It really bothers you.
Yeah, it's the only zit on the otherwise wonderful, clean face that is the Avengers. Because I love that movie in every way. I really do. And watching it again confirmed a lot of what I already knew, which was those guys knew how to make an incredible action movie. One of the best in recent memory.
I don't see that line as being trying to be funny. I see it as kind of groaning. Just like, oh, really?
I don't see how it's a party.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. It's how she delivers it. You know what? Everybody out there, if you don't believe me, go watch it. Just go watch it again.
Oh, it's her. Yeah, we can't see the face. The facial expression is what...
It's making it worse. That definitely... Gotcha. I don't like it by itself, but I think it's way worse with the visual. And it's not that... I like her a lot. I think she's great. In fact, pound for pound, one of my favorite surprises about that movie and Winter Soldier is how much Black Widow is rolling in the Marvel awesomeness right now. I'm loving it. So no knock against Scarlett Johansson or any of that. It's just this one line, and it ain't her fault. They gave it to her. They shouldn't have done it. Daryl, good to have you here.
You need to call Grumpy Cast or something.
I'm telling you. Sounds like you got a party going on back there. What's going on at work today?
I don't know.
Is it Linda and accounting's birthday today? Is she?
Linda and accounting, bring the cake. We've got donuts. Oh, yeah. Let the office tropes fly. Who left a whole roll of toilet paper in the bathroom? I don't know who did it. It's probably Bill. Bill and accounting.
A whole roll. That's good.
I hope so.
Have you seen what happens to a whole roll when you put it in the toilet? We've done this before. You take it unpulled out, so still in its roll form. You just stick it square in the little thing. Leave for a while. Come back, and when you come back, it's like a bloated nightmare. Just this giant bowl of it looks like a bowl of cabbage when you're done. I recommend it. Try it once, and then never try it again. Daryl, let's get to the point here. Let's get to your damn question. It's a Star Trek question because that's what we're doing here. You come on here and you do. Corinne says, sorry, just
even
text
Corinne
just
is
in.
Going to defend the line.
Corinne
see?
Says, that Black Little Widow line is in there for pacing. It's totally Joss Whedon. Those are all over Buffy, but it pauses right before the kaboom. No, I agree. And he does it great in many places in the Avengers. It's not the only time in the Avengers they use that technique or that device. I'm just saying it was badly executed. That's all I'm saying. I'm not saying I don't want it in there. I'm saying they did it bad. There's my clarification. You put it in there, fine. But I also don't think, like, you want a lesser egregious one, but one that still kind of bugs me a little bit, but it's less egregious, okay? And that is when there's the iconic line, which I like in a way because it's fan service to me as a comic book reader. But when Captain America's given everybody their jobs... And he finishes by turning to the Hulk with his finger and going, and Hulk? And the Hulk goes, and looks at him, and he goes, smash. And he goes, and smiles, and then jumps and does his thing.
Yeah.
It's an amazing scene.
You are not going to disparage that
it
in any way.
It is only delivery. It is only delivery. I don't like how Chris Evans throws the finger and does this face. That's all. It's just a little too on the nose for me. That's all.
For Pete's sake.
That's why I said less egregious. Doesn't bother me like this one does. It's far less of an offender.
One of my favorite lines in that whole movie, my favorite scenes in that whole movie.
I agree. It's one of my favorite moments in the entire film, but I just think the line could have been handled better. That's all. And I know it's one word. I know it's a little nitpicky.
Our baby crying?
It's a little nitpicky.
Right. My soundboard.
Who knows what I'm doing here? I sound like this guy.
Diabetes.
All right.
You know what I hate is when, remember Jerry Maguire says, you had me at hello.
I do hate that.
I guess it wasn't Jerry Maguire.
No, it was Renee Zellweger.
Renee Zellweger, yeah.
Who, by the way, I think it might be an alien. Have you seen her lately? I think she's an alien now. Really? I think she's been taken over, and this is a pod people version of her that we have now. She doesn't look right.
Wow. I've got luck.
Yep. Yeah, this, I would describe her as this.
Fragrant liquid and powder.
She's fragrant liquid and powder now. All right, Daryl, your Trek question is now on tap, and here it is. In the original series episode, For the World is Hollow and I Have Touched the Sky.
Ew.
What the hell, dude? What was that going on there? The Enterprise finds what they think is an asteroid. It turns out to be a generational ship. Generational? Okay, whatever. The ship is on a collision course with the planet. What planet is the ship about to collide with? This must be planet week here on the show. Is it A, Amelia 3, 2, rather?
What? Amelia?
I'm sorry. Amila 2.
Amelie?
Amelie?
No, I'm kidding. No, it's not Amelia.
Amelia. It's Amelia.
No, there's no I at the end. It's Emila.
Oh, Emila. Emila 2.
Yeah.
I don't know. E-M-I-L-A 2.
Yeah.
Norpin 5. Darren 5 or Barkon 4. So
that's the light control for dogs.
Barkon.
Barkoff. The barker. So Amilla 2. Gosh, these numbers. Norpin 5, Darren 5, or Barkon 4. All right, there's your damn options. And now we'll play this.
Are you hungry?
Aren't you hungry?
Watch a foodie.
It's the foodie segment of the show, again, from Ryan and JK, who sent us these amazing Donald Trump loves these chocolate deals, these brand-defined chocolates. And I will defer to you guys as to which one we try, and I'm open to whatever here.
I'm going to roll the dice. I've got a huge...
penis. Oh.
Sure. Okay.
Sorry, I jumped ahead.
Didn't think we were going to go there until a later show.
But, way later, yeah.
All right, so we have 7 of these left, and I have a 20-sided die right here, a big orange 20-sided die that I'm holding up in front of the camera.
I'm looking at this passion one, you know, just real quick. When I was a kid, you'd hear the word aphrodisiac.
Yeah.
And this just reminded me of this, but when I was a kid, I thought that was a thing you had to get to make it so your hair would be big and poofy. And I'm not kidding
like
about
like an afro.
Aphrodisiac. Yep. I did. I always thought when people say, oh, this is a really, I hear it's a great aphrodisiac. And I thought, oh, if you eat that, your hair, you can get really big curly hair. That's what I really literally thought for years when I was a kid.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
How dumb is that?
Yeah.
Anyway.
It makes some kind of sense.
It does a little bit.
Diabetes.
All right, Daryl or Brian, what were you going to say?
All right, so I'm going to roll the dice. We're going to divide the number by 3 and then round up, and that'll be the number of chocolate. Ace, we might actually have these in a different order, so who knows? But
oh, yeah. Well, we'll do it by whatever symbol you see or thing on top. And then.
All right, so I got a 6, which means we're going to pick the second one, which is the one that's got like a, for me, it's the one that's got like a seashell scallopy.
Oh, same.
Yeah.
Okay.
Same
They must, wow, that's actually kind of cool that they're all uniform like that. All right, so the seashell on here. And what is this one again? Where's the little card?
Oh, the diagram or the thing.
Clam flavored.
Clam, ugh.
Chai, dark chocolate, fresh cream with chai tea of India.
Oh, yeah. I told Kim I'd save her half of this one. She loves dark chocolate and chai. Okay, well, here we go then. Taking a bite. Doing my thing.
Ooh.
Ooh, creamy. Oh,
that's pretty good.
Mm-hmm. Oh, man.
It's like a little brownie in there.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like a soft brownie?
That is damn good.
Yeah.
That is good.
These are great.
Mm.
You know, Donald Trump, for all his weirdness...
Mm-hmm.
He knows good chocolate when he sees it.
This chocolate is huge.
It's huge. It's like a big comb over. I love it. Ugh.
I want to take personal responsibility for discovering this chocolate. It's the best chocolate ever.
Yeah. Did he ever... I've never walked in the Trump Hotel Casino in Vegas. Not once.
No, me neither. Yeah. It's just too much of a... It's too much of a hike for what I assume to be nothing but white and gold.
Yeah.
White marble... And gold up the
end. It's just off the path, you know? Like, who goes there? I don't know who's going there.
I did go into the Trump Tower in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And that actually has a lot of white marble and a lot of gold up the ass.
Yeah, he likes gold.
He does.
I've noticed. He's into that. All right. Well, lovely.
Oh, and I've been to the Trump Casino in Atlantic City, too.
I've never been to Atlantic City.
That one's right on the boardwalk.
You've been to all casinos. That's your job.
By the Borgata. It's right by the Borgata.
You're such a kingpin. I love it. You just go to these casinos and rake in the craps.
And I'm going to another one the day after Nerdtacular.
That's right.
That's
right. That's right. And isn't that kind of whiz-bang? Like, you're literally going down there Sunday,
driving from Salt Lake City to Las Vegas Sunday morning.
Yeah. And then doing the concert
night? Sunday night. Yep, the Burlesque and Andrew Allen Trio concert at the Artifice.
So weird. And then you're going to leave Monday.
Drive out Monday morning and stop in Mesquite for some In-N-Out Burger on the way out.
We are not having TMS until Tuesday, everybody. That's just now it's all figured out.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, we haven't really talked about it, but that makes sense to me.
Yeah, I don't think the the Wi-Fi or the LTE would be strong enough on the drive that that could even participate.
I can almost guarantee it. Mm-hmm. Daryl, let's get to your birthdays of the day. Who in Star Trek history is celebrating today?
That would be Mike Vihar. He is 71 today. He was the director of Babylon 5, but also one episode of TNG, 7 episodes of DS9, 13 episodes of Voyager, and 10 episodes of Enterprise.
Wow. He's busy bee. Mm-hmm. He's got some stuff going on there. Well, good for him.
And you know what? I'm sorry. I'm going back to the chai chocolate.
Yeah.
How did I forget to bring up Cleo? Whose last name is Chai, and take advantage of the opportunity to tell the joke that I'm licking the chai right now.
Oh my gosh, you should have, and now that you have, I'm now regretting that you did.
okay.
There you go. Right. We hope you're listening. Okay. Well, back to the point here. The question, which was which of these dumb planets they made up for no reason with numbers on them, are they worried the ship is going to collide with? And again, they are Amelia 2, Norpin 4, 5, gosh dang it, Darren 5, or Barkin 4.
Okay, well, it's not Barkin because we already talked about that. And it's not A or B because I already know that it's C.
It's not A or B because I already know.
I already knew the answer the entire time. All right, well, let's see if you're right. Is that correct? Oh, it is.
Congratulations.
Lovely.
You're a winner.
It is headed towards Darren 4 or 5. I keep doing that. Kirk, along with his homies, Spock and McCoy. You know, Mike, the homie thing, really. I'm going to have to kill you.
Yeah.
And McCoy try to change the course of the ship, but the Oracle on the ship tells them they can't. Here's a clip of that goodness happening.
It is sacrilege to the temple.
We do this for the survival of the people of Yonada.
You are not believers. You are forbidden to gaze at the book.
We mean no desecration to the faith of Yonada. We must consult the book to help you.
It is blasphemy. You are forbidden. The punishment is death.
Wow. A little edit work there. Nicely done. That's a great clip. Man, that's what I love about TOS is those ridiculous voices. So I always like when we do one. Daryl's the Trek Nerd on Twitter. He's also at This Week in Trek at ThisWeekinTrek.com. Podcast all about Star Trek and the Grumpy Cast, a whole other podcast about grumpy old men who also like Star Trek. Daryl, what are we doing here? You're going to give us a wood or a monkey? And what is it? A real monkey or a fake wood? What is it? What's your game?
Sure.
Real monkey or fake wood?
All right.
I like that one.
That's pretty good.
Make a note of that.
Here's your song.
What?
All right, go.
Star Trek jewelry or type of wood?
All right.
Kari.
That's, again, could go either
that
way.
Sounds like, still sounds like Star Trek jewelry to me, but everything I think is starting to sound like Star Trek jewelry.
Captain, on our planet, we are regaled with Kari and fine clothing. Your can we people, get a yeah.
Can we get a spelling?
K-A-U-R-I.
Oh.
That sounds like wood.
Exactly, yeah.
You know why? Because TV shows like this don't try to make complicated spellings of things.
Don't give away the reason I always ask for a spelling.
Oh, crap. Good point. I just threw our hand. That's all right. We say wood.
We say wood.
Is it wood?
It is wood from New Zealand.
I knew it. Those are New Zealanders.
I was even going to say, because it sounds like Maori.
Oh, right? Yeah,
like
Maori. That. See? Mm-hmm. We know. We would have gotten it anyway, Daryl.
Yeah.
Oh, he's gone, so he can't answer.
Television highlights of the news of yesteryear.
It's the news.
Oh, you totally blew our strategy. Yeah. ManiacalIndustries.com, where science and funny meet to have brunch. Check out our binary code pirate, iBrain Science, and Occam's Razor tease today. Scott, let's give one away to a tadpooler. What tweets the hashtag Squeery, Squeery. We'll pick a random winner on Friday.
All right. You hear that? Pound sign Squeery, Squeery. And you could win your own t-shirt.
Nice.
There. Yeah. Thanks, guys. Thanks, guys, at ManiacalIndustries.com.
Mm-hmm.
Bob Dylan is in the news.
Okay.
What's that song they used for the...
Yeah, keep you all this.
No, wrong one. Oh, it sounds like all of them actually. But What's the Watchmen movie? The beginning.
Oh,
times are a changing. Freaking love that song. Of all his songs, pretty sure that one does it for me the most.
That is a great song.
Yeah. Anyway, Bob Dylan's "Like a Rolling Stone," the lyric sheet topped $2 million on auction. $2 million.
Wow.
How does it feel? Like a new record for the sale of rocker.
How does it feel?
It's a new record too, by the way. There's nobody else has come close. And he's still around, right? He's with us.
He is, yeah.
All right, still kicking it.
Still kicking it.
Sold it for $2 million on Sotheby's auction house in New York City. The identity of the buyer was not released. It's probably Todd McFarlane. He's going to put it up next to his baseball. That'd be great. This purchase, price bested the previous record of $1.2 million paid for 2010 for John Lennon's lyric sheet for A Day in the Life from Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Day in the Life. Is that the...
That's the
I drive your comb across my head. Yeah, that one.
Across my head. Yeah,
that one's weird. It's fine, but it's weird.
But it's a great example of a John Lennon and Paul McCartney track where they wrote it, but they didn't necessarily write it together. And going back and forth between the I Read the News Today section that John Lennon does and the.
Oh, right. I read the news the more today. Pop song. Oh, boy. Yeah, because it's such a mash of those things.
It really is.
I went downstairs and drank a cup. Something. Like, it's just so dissonant. It always left me feeling just really uncomfortable as a kid.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think that was the intent. I think the idea was to seem dissonant
to throw you
and
off
hard. And,
right, exactly. Just when you're getting used to one section of the song, oh, we're switching it up.
And like, life is complicated, and this song is about that. And
Bohemian Rhapsody does that, too.
Yeah, a little bit. It's a little more jolly, though. You know,
Bohemian Rhapsody is?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's more...
Mama just killed a man?
Well, I don't mean the lyrics, but
put a gun against his head?
But the tone is just like crazy and like a little melancholy, then crazy, then heavy metal, like let's go rock, then soft and simple at the end. All of that is a fun ride. That feels like a roller coaster in the truest sense. This other one was more like Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory. Everything's fine till you get you in the tunnel. And Gene Wilder's going, everything is happening! Anyway. Let's see here. We got... there's a photo of the draft. It's just a handwritten deal. And that's what sold for $2 million. Lyrics to another classic from Dylan, A Hard Rain's A Gonna Fall. I hate when they put in there, but whatever. Sold for $485,000, according to Reuters. And let's see. Other items in the sale included memorabilia from the Beatles, the Rolling Stones, and Elvis Presley, with pre-auction estimates ranging as little as $200 to $300 to up to $1 million to $2 million, which is interesting. It'd be fun to be at one of those, wouldn't it? Just kind of see what stuff goes for.
I'd love to. Yeah.
What would you? Okay. Brian, let's say you die a famous man.
Mm-hmm.
What piece of memorabilia do you think would fetch the most at an auction like this?
Oh, what I gotcha. Like what?
Your Tempest machine, your Marvel figurine collection.
No, I think it would be. I don't know. Like
your CPAP.
My mixer, my microphone, my pop filter.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Something like that. Something podcast or music related.
Right.
Your huge music collection. I guess.
Yeah, that's probably what would fetch the most.
Yeah. I don't know what mine would be.
Tina would sell the whole lot of it all at once.
Probably be some signed piece of art or something. I'm trying to think. I don't know. I have nothing that's worth anything.
Iceworm says, he tweets back, is the homie thing really bothering you? It's just there as a joke.
No, we know. We're having fun with it.
Yes.
Exactly. Although, you know, whatever. You don't have to keep doing it. But if you want to, it's fine. We're never serious. Are you kidding me?
Right.
We don't do serious on this show. I was going to say something, but I won't. All right. Moving on to Google to sell domain names. With Tom coming up today, I thought it'd be fun to pepper the people with a little bit of tech news here.
Mm-hmm.
Google is searching for more opportunities and new opportunities. It's already a major player in search, online mapping, social networking, buying things and then dropping them like a drop of the hat, and web functions. I've added that other part in there. Now it wants to sell domain names as well. The internet giant announced Monday it's launching Google Domains. And it's an invitation-only service that will help small businesses and register and manage their web addresses. Yeah, I know. We know what that is. We've been dealing with web registrars for how long? Thanks for clearing that up.
Yeah.
Invitation-only is a little weird, though, right?
Yeah, no kidding. We invite you to look for a domain name.
Yeah, good luck finding one that's less than 12 characters. Go.
Right.
The service is currently in beta testing with a small number of users. Well, yeah, it's invite only. Their most notable partner turned rival will be GoDaddy, which is the world's largest domain management company. The most notable partner turned rival. Partner turned rival. When were they a partner?
I don't know. I didn't know that Google and GoDaddy were ever partners.
That's weird. Google isn't quoting prices yet, although the window on the Google domain site just suggests that registering a domain will cost about $12 a year. So I really like hover.com a lot. If I were Google, I would have bought hover.com. That's what I would have done, because that's what they do usually. They'll just buy somebody and absorb their business. Right, Hover does an amazing job, and they're about that a year or two. So I really like Hover, like a lot.
Yeah.
GoDaddy's kind of...
Yeah, me too. I'm not a, not a fan, I'm afraid.
They've improved a few things, like their site isn't such a cluster F anymore. Like, it's not such a weird, like, 5,000 things to click and you don't know that you're buying the, it's like the, they should call it lunderguards.com and they should be all about getting the undercoating to your car and not knowing you signed up for it. It's ridiculous. That's it for, news. Let's get to some celebrity poop. But before we do, HelloFresh.com. Coming in here on the show right after a story that's not about gross food or somebody putting something weird in their meat. It was about Google, so that's good. HelloFresh.com, making cooking fun again. Every week, their chefs create delicious recipes. You pick what you like. They send you the exact farm fresh ingredients directly to your door. And it's everything you need to make delicious, healthy meals in 30 minutes or less. Doesn't matter which ones you pick. They're all amazing. Go to HelloFresh.com to see what this week's meals are and to see if they deliver to you. And if they do, use the code MORNINGSTREAM at checkout for 50% off for first-time customers. That's HelloFresh.com. Do it today.
Chairman J. Parnell Thomas of New Jersey opens an inquiry into possible communist penetration of the Hollywood film industry.
It's Celebrity Poop, brought to you by...
New York Times best-selling cartoonist Raina Tegmeier. Let's say that. Tegmeier.
I think so.
Her autobiographical graphic novel Smile was outstanding, especially the really gross bits showing her dental surgeries. Her follow-up book, Sisters, will be published August 26, 2014. Details at goraina.com.
Yeah, go check it out. Go Raina.
Go Raina. It looked like, when I first looked at this, it looked like a limerick.
Go Raina.
Just the way that
the way it's laid out?
Yeah.
Cartoonist, Raina, graphic novel, yeah, exactly. Because it's all broken up weird.
Right.
I think that was the email.
The iambic pentameter.
Yeah. Predator. Remember Predator? The, space alien man with the face and the stuff. So I thought it was rebooted, but apparently we're rebooting it again. Franchise is going to be reborn with Shane Black involved. Don't know who that is. Well, hang on one second.
Okay.
We'll get to it.
Okay.
Predator is one franchise that doesn't bleed, so you can't kill it. The 1987 testosterone-filled action flick that starred one Arnold Schwarzenegger, Jesse Ventura.
Yeah, he was in that. Yeah. I forgot. Yeah.
Don't get killed by the alien. Carl Weathers is in that with his one arm shooting in the air. Remember that? That was great. Yeah. Getting a franchise reboot.
You know that alien is part of the whole liberal propaganda.
I wish I wasn't in it. let's see. They're going to reboot this thing. And it's this according to The Hollywood Reporter. Black, the screenwriter behind Lethal Weapon and director of 2013's Iron Man 3. He's going to write the script treatment for the Predator project and oversee the writing. And Black is also attached to direct the film. The script will be written by Fred Decker. Great name. John Davis, who produced the original with Joel Silver and Lawrence Gordon, is producing the project. So that's cool. My brother-in-law works with Joel Silver, does restoration work on some old buildings and homes and things he owns in California.
Oh, really?
He is an interesting guy.
So this is really the real Joel Silver.
Yeah, the actual Joel Silver. He's a very, very interesting guy. He flew here. When he comes here, he comes in just a private jet, just parks it, gets out, has lunch, gets back on, and goes back home. The whole trip probably costs him, I don't know, $100,000 or something. But he doesn't care. That guy is made of money.
Wow. Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, he's an interesting dude. The original Predator was directed by John McTiernan and featured the action stars of as commandos in the jungle being pursued by a mysterious and lethal creature. Why am I explaining this freaking movie? We know what Predator is.
For those of you unfamiliar with Predator, here's the plot.
The Hollywood Reporter points out that Black already has some skin in the game. He actually appeared in a minor role in the original movie after he repeatedly turned down offers to rewrite the original script. Even after being flown down to the South American set, he reportedly continued to refuse to work on the script. Why? What was the problem? That movie's great.
Yeah.
It is still good. It holds up, man.
Does it?
Original Predator, I think it totally holds up. I don't even think it's all that film sackable, to be honest.
Wow, that good.
Yeah, it's quite good. It's, I don't know, it still looks good, like filmed well and lit well, and there's not a lot of cheese, maybe not enough cheese even, you could argue. It seems, well, I don't know, it's just a good movie still. Look at this here. So a lot of San Francisco listeners, are you guys upset about this? You might be. George Lucas, are you familiar with his work?
Oh, he's he did that. He did Willow, didn't he?
Yeah,
was that his
the one with the little guy. And Kilmer is in that. I think that was him. actually, who directed Willow though? That wasn't him. He wrote it.
It wasn't Ron Howard.
Yeah,
was it?
Ron Howard. That's it.
Yeah.
Yep. Totally Ron Howard. I'm gonna get. Hold on. We're gonna call George. Mr. Lucas, could you tell us what's going on?
Yeah.
You need one of these.
Yeah, I need that thing. I need the phone converter.
Hello.
How do you? I want that on my mixer. My mixer sucks.
No, it's not. It's not even a mixer, dude. It is a bullhorn that I have right here.
Oh, I've never looked at the video. I never saw
it. In the office.
Oh,
yes.
Okay. I need a bullhorn then. I need a way to convert my voice to phone voice. Anyway, George Lucas has decided that his storytelling museum, which everyone has been kind of excited about, it's going to be, I don't exactly know what's going to be in this thing, but people are excited about it. Anyway, has decided Chicago is the city to do it in and not his native land of Northern California or the Bay Area or any of that. And so people in San Francisco are pissed because that's where all Lucas stuff has happened previously, but not now. He's going to Chicago, man. The big shoulders. What is it? No, the
Windy City.
The Windy City. Who's the big shoulders or the big
Philadelphia?
Sweaty. No, that's the city of brotherly love.
Brotherly love. Yeah.
You got your big shoulders. Your
city of big
your
shoulders.
Sweaty shoulders. The shoulders of the shoulders
giants.
Of giants.
The shoulders of giants.
The shoulders of giants.
Actually, looks like Chicago was known as the city of broad shoulders.
That's it.
Okay.
That's what I was thinking of. So I knew they had multiples. So what is yours? Does your state or your city or
Mile High, man?
Mile High City. That's
yeah.
Right. So you know what ours is?
The little bit above sea level city.
No, that's not it. Hold on,
city with a big salty lake in it.
hold on, I gotta find it here. Not, don't ever look at the encyclopedia. That one is wrong. It says in the city motto is embracing diversity, but only if you're white. That's not true. It is. I think it's. I can't find it. I know. So the state is the Beehive State, right?
Yeah.
What's Denver State? Do you have a state one?
We're Colorful Colorado. I know that. What are the state? Yeah, I know there's like, you know, the cornerstone state or I want to say that we're the Rocky. No, I can't remember what if we have a moniker that is the blank state.
Oh, I gotta find it here.
here it is. State.
I found it. Crossroads of the West is Salt Lake City's.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because that's where the Golden Spike stuff happened and all that.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, people don't know this. You would have never gotten to California without that damn spike out there.
No, that's right.
It was on us, man. Provo is called Happy Valley. Orem is Family City, USA. That's
the Centennial State. Thank you, Tinvec. That's right. Yeah,
oh, Centennial State. Okay.
Yep.
Green River. Guess what Green River is?
The sushi state.
Nope, it should be. It's the world's watermelon capital, it says.
Really?
Yeah, I don't know what that's about. I've never heard of
that. Oh, dude, forget the sushi, man. We're going to meet there for watermelon.
Let's go. I'm in.
We're just going to go there, sit and chat and, you know, spit out sunflower seeds.
Exactly.
While we're talking.
The entire time.
This just in, Eli Wallach passed away.
Who's Eli Wallach?
The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly.
Let's take a look here. Breaking news, everybody. Oh, mm-hmm. I
at
like
the age
that
of
guy.
98, yeah.
98?
As a Western... as a guy who likes Westerns, I figured you'd recognize him.
I do like Westerns, although I'm not as big a fan as the old ones. I'm kind of a modern day Western guy, but like I'm a Unforgiven slash, you know, 310 to Yuma remake kind of guy. Yeah,
and
that
also,
guy.
And I'm sure we'll talk about this with Tom, but the Supreme Court ruling came back from the Aereo decision.
Oh,
and it did not go well.
No, I need my Aereo back.
Yeah, it's
I like
Aereo.
Well,
we'll talk about that with that's a good Tom's tech time.
Well, screw everybody then. I'm looking at this guy here who died. He was in all those old Eastwood movies and stuff. In fact, he's the one with the eyes. And that one Fistful of Dollars or whatever, where they're all being shifty with their eyes. He's one of the shifty eyes.
That's Good, Bad, and the Ugly, isn't it? Or is that?
I can't remember. Was it Good, Bad, and the Ugly? Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. Aww. A story.
That's
career.
Right. 98. Hey, good job.
Well, he is.
Did I say he spit out sunflower seeds?
I think you might have.
Corrected me.
I think you might have.
Well, that's how good the watermelons are in Green River.
They're hella good. Chicago's been selected by the Star Wars filmmaker George Lucas, to get back to the damn article, as the home of his storytelling museum that will feature the director's collection of paintings, illustrations, and digital art. Lucas and Chicago Mayor Rahm Emanuel said on Tuesday, Chicago beat out San Francisco, there's a fly in my room, and Los Angeles as host city for the Lucas Museum of Narrative Art. Or the
That's the San Francisco state motto, there's a fly in my room. The city motto.
Well, if you're Dills, that's always true. Which is present history and evolution of visual images. Quote, we are honored to be partnering with the city of Chicago and many cultural, educational, and community groups that have come forward with ideas of how the LMNA will add to their vibrant work, Lucas said in a statement. Oh, I should have done it in his voice. Oh, well. The museum's board will vote on Wednesday, or Wednesday is how I like to say it, to approve Chicago as its new home. So if you were in San Francisco and you thought he was going to hang around there, tough poo. Good for Chicago, though.
It is good for Chicago.
I'd
totally want to check that out. That'd be awesome.
I haven't been to Chicago in forever, but I loved it when I went there. That's a cool town, cool city.
Mm-hmm. Really is, yeah.
That's where Richard Kind spit on me. Did I tell you about that?
Yeah.
So there you go. That's all that. We're done with that. Let's talk about our friends real quick at tweakedaudio.com, where you can get 5 great styles, 7 great colors, and all of these earbuds at their store are designed to sound great for music and talk, engineered for durability, noise reduction, and compatibility with your iPhone, your Android phone, your iPod, MP3 ears, MP3 players. They still make those. Someone's making an MP3 player. I guess Apple is.
Sure.
Lifetime warranty on all of it. And all you got to do is go to tweakedaudio.com and check out with the code STREAM. That's one word, STREAM. Of course it is. What else would it be?
STREAM.
It's not like STREAM.
STREAM.
STREAM, weary. Check out for 33% off your next pair of earbuds at tweakedaudio.com. Let's take a break. When we come back, maybe Nicole, she's in Missouri visiting her father, and we were unsure about availability and connectivity, but I told her I'd try. So we're going to give a shot.
So we'll find out.
But if not, her will roll into Tom. I have a recommendal or two anyway.
Okay, cool.
So we'll be good either way. Anyway, let's do some.
I have a couple as well.
Oh, good.
All right. This one comes from Deneen. She says, hiya, DJ and Husay. My husband and I are both listeners of TMS, along with most other Frog Pants podcasts. Thanks for making our days a little nicer and for making us laugh and smile. We can't make it to Nerdtacular this year, but hopefully next year we'll get to shake your sweaty hands. Yeah. This month, there are a couple of special days coming up, one being our 3rd anniversary on the 25th. The other is Hubby's birthday on the 29th. We were junior high sweethearts. Then we went our separate ways for almost 30 years. Eventually, I moved to North Carolina with my children and had made it my home. One day, I happened to see a photo of him on a mutual friend's Facebook page, and I messaged him. We corresponded for a couple of years, and despite the distance, we fell in love. We decided we should meet in person to see if this could be the start of the rest of our lives together. Being the romantic that I am, I chose the Lincoln Memorial, which is about halfway between us. The rest is history. I packed my things, and he came down with his truck and brought me home. We were married a year later on the beach with our children as witnesses.
Aww.
Isn't that a great story?
I love that. I love that, too. I like the Lincoln Memorial is the center.
Yeah,
place.
It's so sleepless in Seattle, isn't it?
Yeah, and having him just sit up on that big chair looking at you. It's cool,
just
man.
Picturing the two of them meeting and little hearts.
Yeah.
Love American style with the.
And then he cracks a little grin. You hear the stone kind of move a little bit, and he grins from his seat. That's a great ending to a movie.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
All right. I love it more and more every day we spend together, and I'm looking forward to making many memories in the years to come. I would follow him anywhere. I love you, David. Happy anniversary and happy birthday. Oh. Could you please play Follow You, Follow Me by Genesis, covered by the Red House Painters? Or if you can find another cover of the song, that would be okay too, Brian. Let love flow, though. Deneen.
Oh, this is sweet.
P.S. Sending you a picture of our wedding kiss. Oh, there it is. There's a picture of the wedding kiss. Oh, that's them on the beach. You're right. Not them kissing in front of Lincoln. And
he's always watching. It doesn't matter where they go.
He really is. There he is. He's on the beach, too.
Yeah. That'd be something.
That's what they should have done for their wedding, is had a guy dressed up as Lincoln.
Yeah, or at the very least, Photoshop him into the photos. That would have been great.
Right. Yeah. All right. Very good. Deneen and Mark. I'm sorry, David, Deneen and David. This one goes out to you guys. When the cover is this good, you just aren't going to find a better replacement. It is the Red House Painters from the Shanty Project Collection, Volume 1. Here's their cover of Genesis's Follow You, Follow Me.
All right, here it is. We'll be back in a minute with Nicole, hopefully, Tom for sure, and you more. So stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Stay with me, my love. I hope you'll always be right here by my side. If ever I need you, oh my love, in your arms I feel so safe and so secure. Every day is such a perfect day to spend alone with you. I will follow you. Will you follow me every day and night that we no will be? I will stay with you. Will you stay with me? Just one single tear in each passing year. With the dark I see so very clearly now. All my fears are drifting by me so slowly now, fading away. And I can say the night is long, but you are near. Close at hand, though I'm better for the smile you give. And while I live, I will follow you. Will you follow me every day and night that we know will be? I will stay with you. Will you stay with me? Just one single tear in each passing me. Just one single tear in each passing year, I will follow you. Will you follow me every day and night that we know will be? I will stay with you. Will you stay with me? Just one single tear in each passing year, I will follow you. Will you follow me every day and night that we know will be? I will stay with you. Will you stay with me? Just one single tear in each passing year, I will follow you.
Helicopter to Lego tow truck, come in tow truck. Emergency on Sunnydale Bridge. Past Lego Village, up a level. Get the bus back on the bridge.
We ought to make a safety rail.
Here's some more Lego building bricks.
With Lego, you can build buses and houses and bridges and helicopters, even the new safety rail on the Sunnydale Bridge.
Helicopter to tow truck, telephone pole down on Main Street.
Lego Building Set 145 has wheels, windows, movable shutters and doors, and hundreds of bricks for building. There's no end to Lego.
And now I'm glad I decided to do this video after all.
The Morning Stream. You didn't say the magic word.
And we're back. We're back.
Now I'm glad I did this show after all. Because I wasn't. For a while.
He's such a goober. What a goob. Here's his end times again.
End times.
All right. Hey, well, we're back, and let's see what we can do about this Nicole problem. I assume that it's going to be tough because she seemed real unsure yesterday, but we're going to give it a shot.
Okay. All right.
And if not,
it's all we can do, really.
All the better if she can. I mean,
yeah, of course.
What a lovely surprise it would be. What a day it would be for us.
That'd be a happy, happy thing.
Wouldn't it?
Joyous occasion.
I think so.
To say the least.
I'm going to play this regardless and just see if it works.
It's almost like the bat signal, right?
Where yeah. Exactly. Throwing it up, saying, hey. And she could come around and go, I'm Nicole. Actually, she'd say, I have a thing of her saying that. There you go.
I'm Batman.
Yeah, that's her.
Wow. Yeah. There you go.
Nice reference. I don't think it's gonna work. Yeah, looks like we're out. That's okay. We tried. If she calls in, we'll bring it in. But that's okay. We're gonna recommend our own stuff today here on the recommendal segment. Normally it's Nicole, but it can be us talking about stuff that's streaming that we like and we're into and we're watching and we think is interesting. And Brian, I'm gonna recommend people watch NYPD Blue, which I've been doing a little bit of. It's a show that my parents were more into than I was. At the time that it came out, and I was even a little bit older when it was a big deal. I want to say it was 92, I think, 93 maybe. So I was like 20, 21, 22, and just felt like it wasn't my thing. But there was a lot to appreciate. You knew Dennis Franz was good, and what's his name with the glasses? Can't think of his name all of a sudden.
Yeah, the guy from CSI.
CSI Miami guy. I can't think of his name. Anyway, that guy. I knew that they seemed good, you know, it seemed like they were acting and doing good work there. But everybody was like, Bochco and Filch or Milch or whatever his name is. I think Filch is a guy from Harry Potter. Is it Milch? David Milch? Anyway, the guy that made
David Caruso is the guy we're trying to think of.
Yeah, but the co-creator of the show. The co-creator of the show is David Milch, I
Bochco,
think.
Right? Wasn't it?
It was Bochco and Milch. I can't remember. Gosh dang it. I got to look it up now. But anyway, he did Deadwood and Life on the Street, Baltimore crime show thing.
Yeah, David Milch. Stephen Bochco and David Milch.
David Milch, that's it. I want to just make sure I have this right on his credits. Yeah, he did. He's known for Luck, which didn't last there. That didn't do very well. But didn't a horse die?
Because all the horses died, yeah, right.
Something weird happened there. NYPD Blue, Deadwood. John's from Cincinnati. I don't remember that. I remember you liking that. Wasn't that you that liked that?
John from Cincinnati?
Yeah. Someone we know liked that.
Certainly wasn't me. Yeah.
Brooklyn South. Anyway, guy makes his crime dramas and stuff pretty well. Anyway, NYPD Blue. It's a good watch. It's fun. The music's kind of weird now. It kind of hasn't aged very well, but it was also the first show that featured a lot of shaky cam.
Oh, right. Yeah.
And what's funny is it's way less than they do today. Like, it doesn't feel shaky cam at all to me compared to what they do today. But it did start the trend of kind of free-roaming hand cams. It's just that everyone has taken that to the furthest extent that they can now, which is interesting. But anyway, there's...
I like that we didn't bring up Stephen Bochco's Cop Rock.
Oh, yeah, he did Cop Rock, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
He did. He also did... is it Raising the Bar I'm thinking of? There's another one in here. I wouldn't mind watching L.A. Law or Hill Street Blues again, too. I probably never will.
Hill Street Blues, L.A. Law, Doogie Howser, NYPD Blue. Those are all Bochco's.
Yeah, Bochco's big man. Does stuff. Mm-hmm. Big rich man in Hollywood. All right, so there's your there's my recommendation. Do you have anything you've been doing?
Cool. Yeah, actually, we watched this a couple nights ago. It's on Netflix streaming. It's called Submarine, and it's a it has all the trappings of a Wes Anderson film without being a Wes Anderson film. It's a coming of age kid in school growing up kind of thing, getting his first kiss. Parents having problems and he tries to get them back together, but it's super, super quirky and really cool. And it's apparently like based on a true story.
Really?
Yeah. The only person I think that people recognize in here is Noah Taylor, who plays the kid's dad. And he's been in a lot of stuff like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. He was Charlie's dad. He was just recently in Game of Thrones as the guy who cuts off. He cuts off the appendage of somebody.
Yeah, I know the man. I know the guy.
Yes. Yes. Got a very unique look and a very dark.
He's in Edge of Tomorrow, by the way.
He is in Edge of Tomorrow. Yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You saw that too. He's the doctor dude scientist man. Yeah.
Kind of the cohort of Emily Blunt.
Yeah. My wife is, this is how awesome my wife is. I mean, there's lots of reasons I could tell you, but we're watching that Edge of Tomorrow in the theater. That guy comes on screen. She quietly leans over with her left hand and chops my wrist with her hand.
Ah.
As a nod, knowing what, yeah, and wow. Isn't that great? It totally impressed me. I was like, "Honey, are you kidding me? That's amazing." Anyway, sorry.
That's great. Keep anyway, talking. So he's really cool. He plays the dad. Really, really cute story. Really, really sweet. And I don't know. It's kind of like if Wes Anderson did Scott Pilgrim.
Yeah,
this is what you'd end up with.
Yep. Yep. Totally. I've heard the same said about it before. But you see, it's good. It's worth seeing.
It's really good. Definitely worth seeing.
Where do you? And that was Netflix.
Netflix, yeah.
I should have mentioned Amazon Prime for NYPD Blue. They've got the whole series. Okay. So just to mix things up a little bit there. Ian McShane. Suddenly I saw a bunch of Ian McShane pictures because he's in Deadwood. Mm-hmm. You got to watch Deadwood, Brian.
All right. I've got the box set. I'll watch it.
Just look at this photo, guys. The whole thing's on Prime too now.
Yeah, it looks tough. He looks badass.
He is badass. And that's not even a photo from the show. That's just him.
I'm a few episodes into Silicon Valley, which is a lot of fun.
Yeah, I keep hearing good things about that.
Yeah.
I wish that was on Prime, damn it. I wish their new shows were on Prime.
Yeah. It's really, really good. Yeah. And as soon as that's done, it's Arrow, and then after Arrow will be Deadwood.
I love that you have it scheduled.
Well, we'll see how much I stick to that schedule. But
okay.
Justified, by the way. I finished Justified a couple nights ago.
Yeah.
This season kicked ass. I had reservations at the beginning, but holy crap.
It's easy to with that show. At first you're like, oh, but then it's always so good by the middle and end.
Golly. And not Rose. What's her name? Redheaded chick. Shoot
McGee. I don't know.
Dang, I can't remember her name anyway.
Ginger. No?
Ginger, right.
Marianne, the other one.
Anyway, she plays one of the Crow siblings. She's the sister of all of the Crows.
Oh, Dewey Crow's sister. Oh, wow. Yeah. I didn't know we were getting into all the Crows this year. That's great.
It's a very Crow-heavy season. We're introduced to a new Crow played by Michael Rapaport, who's awesome.
Yeah.
And
my favorite Crows are Dewey Crow and Jon Snow. Those are my two favorite Crows.
Two favorite Crows. Yeah. Very good.
That's great. Nice. Well, there you go.
Yeah.
I will catch up with that. And here's the statement I would give you right now. If you like Justified, you will love Deadwood. In fact, you're going to get him in it. He's freaking in it.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. What's his face?
He's a main part in it.
Huh.
This was before Justified, but if you liked that at all, you're going to freaking love this.
Nice. Alicia Witt, thank you, R. Sharp.
That's
exactly what it is.
You are sharp, R. Sharp.
She's really good in it. Man, Michael Rapaport, really, really good in it.
Yeah, he's always good, right?
Holy crap, some stuff with Nick Searcy.
Ooh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
He starts fat-shaming Raylan Givens. All right, Raylan, you're looking a little fat, a little round around the middle there. You got to...
Yeah. He's falling off the radar on that stuff. Nobody really cares totally anymore.
Is. Exactly, yeah.
Right. Well, there you go. There's our recommendals for the week. And now, Tom.
Yes.
He's around. I bet
hopefully
he has some.
Hopefully it's not too quick and early for him.
Nah, I think we're good. He's probably got things to say about that Aereo deal, at least potentially. But we'll get to that in a minute. Let's play his little themer.
As soon as he hops on. So far, nothing. Maybe he's busy in reading court documents from the Supreme Court's decision. Because that's what he does. He keeps up on this stuff. You know what? I'm not going to lie. Tom Merritt is my number one source for daily tech news.
Oh, sure.
He's become.
Who else would you go to?
He was already that, but he's more that now than ever. He's been that for a while. Hmm. He no here. Mm. Maybe I call him. Maybe I text him.
Furt?
let me see here. Tom Merritt. Yeah, I am going to write Furt. Let's see what he infers from it.
Okay. All right.
All right. Furt has been sent. Waiting. Now we play the waiting game. Well, he blacked out. Let me hit call again. All right, ringing. Great podcasting right here.
Mm-hmm.
This is what you live for as a content creator. These moments of awkward silence. It's really what you want most in your life. Ah, poop. All right, here's what we'll do. Oh, he says he's coming. Okay. So he knows what I mean from Furt, right?
Yeah,
He inferted it. All right. So he's on his way. While he comes to the show, we will we'll do an email. One email. We'll start with that.
Yeah.
And we'll save the sponsor till I'm done. Yeah.
Header for okay, good.
I'm gonna start with the short bottom one. Brian, at the end of TMSPM, this is from Tom Walter.
He's a
property assistant according to his email. At the end of TMSPM 628, you mentioned meeting Maggie Gyllenhaal and Emily Blunt at the food court of the King Prussian Mall. Prussia Mall.
Right, yes.
I'm curious as to how you chose that location. Have you been there before? I work 10 minutes from that mall. Crazy stuff. I'm a hobo. Tom Walter, the original fan from the Vampire State, Pennsylvania. So,
why did I choose the mall at the King of Prussia?
Yeah. Yeah, that is an odd thing.
Well, it's one of the oldest malls. If I know my trivia, the King of Prussia Mall is one of the oldest shopping centers in the country. And I have been there. I installed. Where did I do an installation? It was right there, like right nearby there. Some newspaper. I'm sure he'd be able to tell me what the newspaper is that's right by there. But and I decided, well, all right, I got to check out the world's or the country's oldest shopping mall. Mm-hmm. So did that. Also went to the Mall of America, which was the world's biggest, or is the world's
still
biggest
is shop. Right? I think it's still the biggest.
I think so. Yeah.
Bigger's not always better when it comes to malls, in my experience. Okay, Tom is now here, he says.
Okay, good. Because I got nothing else.
You got nothing else. You're good. You're done. You're out.
Yeah.
All right. Adding him to the call right now and playing a little theme from him.
With the computer, as with any tool, the concept and direction must come from the man.
Ooh, I am not used to seeing the man with glasses on. What was that about? that is a new look for me,
Scott.
That is a new look. I have not seen Tom Merritt.
No idea.
Woo!
Let me. The Supreme Court decisions are printed in very small type.
They're trying to conserve paper. I get it. I totally get it. Tom Merritt is here. He is the leader of all technology, as far as I give two poops, and comes on the show and talks about technology every Wednesday. And that is some breaking news, man. That whole thing, and I'm sad because we were one of the states, man. Now we can't. Get
no,
it.
I'm glad. Yeah, I'm glad you nudged me. I was lost deep inside of this Supreme Court decision. It is not many days that I can say say I agree with Justice Alito.
Oh, wow.
Or Scalia.
Yeah.
Or Thomas. But this is actually, I think it was it Scalia that wrote this one, or was it Alito? I should double check that. But
they always do that, right? They give somebody the job of writing up the dissent.
Scalia wrote this one. Wow. I'd never agree with Scalia on anything, but yeah. I totally agree with him on this one. Yeah. It's not always. I mean, obviously, if it's a 9-0 decision, there's no dissent. Most of the time, one justice will write a dissent. Sometimes two will write different dissents because they differ on different legal points. In this case, it was a 6-3 decision. So Scalia wrote the dissent, and Thomas and what's his butt?
Alito. Old Justice what's his butt.
Apologies.
No, it's all right. I like it. You know me, I prefer this kind of nomenclature, so it's not a problem.
And Justice Breyer, who I believe is a Clinton appointee, wrote the majority opinion. But everybody else, Roberts, the Chief Justice, all of those guys are on board. And what we're talking about, if anybody out there is like, okay, why are you going on about the Supreme Court? Aereo, the service that allowed you to watch over-the-air broadcasts through your computer, over the internet, lost in the Supreme Court. Decision was handed down like just a little over an hour ago. And that's why I was lost in the decision, because I'm still reading through it. But essentially what Justice Breyer and the majority of the court found was that your service does not actually act in any different way than a cable TV service. I'm going to paraphrase here, but your technical chicanery with these dime-sized antennas that you were using doesn't matter. In the end, you effectively were the same as a cable TV service. Therefore, it was a public performance. Therefore, it violates copyright law because you didn't get a license. You didn't pay for the rights to publicly perform these.
Right. So, because their stance has always been, we provide an antenna just like anybody else can get an antenna for over-the-air content. And, I could get one, put it on my roof, for example. But what their decision says is, I cannot say that a bunch of my neighbors, well, maybe I could do this, but a bunch of my neighbors now have the ability to pay me a fee for renting one of my antennas. And
right.
Therefore,
well put, yeah. One of your antennas.
Yeah.
Right. If you would have to mimic what Aereo did, you'd have to have one antenna for every one of your neighbors. Mm-hmm. And essentially, I think this is going to cause problems in unforeseen ways, because what Breyer wrote was, there is no effective difference. Right.
Yeah.
He has these long paragraphs about the perceptual being able to perceive the same broadcast at the same time across such a wide number of people means that you're acting the way Congress meant to regulate in 1976 when they put the act in place that regulates cable television. If they could have foreseen you doing this technical trick you did, they would have included it, is essentially what Breyer's saying. This is a classic strict constructionist versus non-strict constructionist decision breakdown.
Sure.
The majority here is saying, look, the intention of the law was to regulate people like you, Aereo. So we're not going to let you try to get through on a loophole. We're going to say, what you're doing is the same as a cable TV service, by all intents and purposes, if you don't know what's going on behind the scenes. And therefore, and this is reasonable. Therefore, we're not going to let you get away by going, oh, but we do this magic behind the scenes.
Right.
What Scalia is saying, and I think is a better argument, is this isn't just magical chicanery here. This is equivalent, and I love this analogy he uses. In his dissent, he uses this analogy. This is the equivalent of a copy shop giving you a library card.
Wow.
That's
interesting.
You go out, you go out and you get the books, and if you want to make personal Xeroxes for them, not on us. We're just a copy shop.
Sure.
And he's saying that's what Aereo is. Aereo doesn't choose the content. Anything that comes in over the air can go to the person who's subscribing, and Aereo doesn't have any selection in it.
Sure. And I tend to agree with the dissent. I also, it's funny, this is a weird thing, because I agree with it. I'm also a little biased towards it because I really want the service. I liked it when I had it. So all of that aside, I also can kind of see the other side of this, or at least I see where their heads are at. Because you are looking at somebody who, I mean, if Aereo's being, let's imagine a world where all of our minds are laid bare and nobody can hide anything. They found a loophole and built a business out of that loophole. That's what they did.
Definitely.
I mean, that's totally what they did. Now, whether then the question becomes whether or not finding a loophole is inherently a problem or illegal or, you know, any of those sort of things. And that's where the argument really begins for me as to whether or not that's a thing. But I feel like innovators always find loopholes. Like things are loophole-y. Like at some point, why was there never a Supreme Court fight over whether or not video game publishers had the right to publish their content by just letting people download it over the internet? Or why didn't, you know, I don't know. I feel like there are a bunch of scenarios. Like the copy shop one's a good one, but there's a million other things you could look at in business and industry or whatever throughout time, really, and say, well, here's an example of how that worked. And it worked fine. And without that being able to happen, this other thing wouldn't have happened or whatever. But is this the larger question, Tom, is, and I'm sure you guys are going to dig deep into this on DTNS today, but is this done? Are they out? Is this too big of a decision for them to do anything else? It's the highest court in the land. What are you going to do?
Yeah, no, the Aereo is done with this business model. Now, Aereo, we had them, we had their CEO, Chuck Kanojia, on Cord Killers. They did not admit to having any plan B. We asked him that. Lots of people asked him that, and they said, "No, this is our business. If this doesn't work, we're done."
Yeah.
So if you believe them, they're done. And I'm not sure what else they could do other than go to the broadcasters and get licenses. But the broadcasters, they have not been shown to be willing to do that up until now, right? Aereo would have been, well, we've been found legal, but let's come to an arrangement.
Well, in fact, in their case, some of them, Fox, CBS, and others have threatened, if this didn't get struck down, they had threatened to pull their programming off the air, off over the air, which seemed crazy to me in the first place. But, and I'm not sure they would have ever followed up on it. Like, that just seems insane if you're a network and you still rely on antenna coverage because you are one of the original three or four networks. Pulling your stuff off the air seems crazy, but they were literally threatening to do that. Some people are going to call foul and say, well, our Supreme Court's in the back pocket of the lobbyist industry, whatever.
Yeah, and that's a certainly understandable knee-jerk reaction, but this is not that. Yeah. The very corporate-friendly justices are Alito, Scalia, and Thomas,
right.
And they are the three dissenters on this case.
Yeah.
Kagan, Breyer, Sotomayor, the ones who are usually on the side of the people in decisions, are the ones ruling against Aereo in this case. I'm actually a big fan of the Supreme Court because over time, these justices tend to become independent.
Yeah.
We consider justices to have been liberal who were appointed by Nixon, who were appointed by Reagan, because over time they built their own beliefs and ruled that way. And what usually happens is they break down into strict construction, like we only going to interpret the law. That's what the dissent is here. Like, no, the law doesn't say anything about Aereo. So you have to let Aereo stand, and you have people who go, well, let's actually take into account the intent of the law.
Yeah.
And if this had existed at the time Congress wrote the law, this would fall under it. So we're going to call it illegal. And you may say, well, that's stupid. You should go with just the intent of the law. And you always say that when this decision doesn't go your way.
Yeah.
And when the decision doesn't go your way the other way, because strict construction wouldn't allow something you want to do, then you say, oh, but come on, let's be reasonable, let's be sensible. So it's really easy to just get mad because it didn't go your way. It's more about the strength of the arguments. And in this case, I think the strength of Scalia's argument, saying like this is a copy shop and a library, is really strong. And Breyer does a little bit of hand waving when he says, look, everybody could get all of these broadcasts at the same time, which is essentially a public performance. I'm not sure I'm swallowing that one.
That's an interesting, that one could be a fight for a whole nother day for those guys.
Well, and a lot, a lot of concern was about, okay, if this ends up being illegal, is Dropbox illegal? Because, I'm storing copyrighted works in another person's area. It seems like the way they wrote it definitely leaves out anything like that. They're like, look, this is about the Cable Act of 1976 regarding television. So they're trying to wall it off from any other kind of system.
Well, they almost have to, right? Because then it gets real complicated real quick.
But what they did leave is, if it looks like that, even if it doesn't work like that, it's still illegal, which could bring into question certain other systems. For instance, Cablevision won a decision that said you can store your DVRs remotely and stream them to people without asking for a separate license, because that's the same as having the DVR in their house. No. Somebody could go refight that now and say, hey, the Supreme Court said if it looks like this, it's illegal. And to me, that looks like rebroadcast.
Well, unlike some people I know, I really like this process. As much as I'm not happy I don't get to have Aereo now, I like that there's this going on all the time. That there's
right always, after this decision, let me give people some hope. Right after this decision, the Supreme Court ruled that police cannot search your phone without a warrant.
Nice. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I think I'd like that, I think. I'd like them to not see how many people I've liked on Badoo.
Please stay out of my Snapchat.
Side note, you never hear anything from, this is not really connected to this case, but you never really hear much from Thomas. Do you think he's just afraid someone's going, I don't want anyone bringing up that pubic hair in the Coke can thing again. I'm just going to kind of sit in the background a little bit.
What do you mean you never hear much from him?
Do we though? Does he come
or
out?
Or do you just not follow the Supreme Court very closely?
I think you're probably the latter.
Like,
probably.
How many Supreme Court justices do you hear from?
I mean, I feel like there's always like the vocal ones. And then there's
Who are the vocal ones?
Scalia, the one that retired. I can't remember her name.
Yeah, once they retire, they could say a lot of stuff.
I guess so. No, you're right. It's just I have it in my head, this stereotype, that he is just terrified of someone bringing up that Coke can again.
Because there was such controversy around him, you expect to hear more, right?
Yeah.
And the fact of the matter is, Justice Thomas issues decisions, you know,
just like everyone else,
fairly regularly. I haven't looked to see if he issues them more often or less often.
I just feel like he's the guy in the background goes, you guys go ahead and take it. I'm fine. And it's like, oh, yeah. Come on out. Be in the spotlight a little bit, Thomas.
If you read about oral arguments, he will definitely speak up and ask questions. It's not like he hangs back. There was a period of time and right after his confirmation where people were suspecting that he was not talking as much because he didn't want to get the limelight.
Sure.
But I think that's kind of passed.
All right. Well, that's good. If they ever get a case, justices, this is Coke versus pubic hair, case number 58.
You gotta imagine that guy's so tired of hearing that.
He must be the worst.
Here we go. You know, he's the guy at the Supreme Court Comic-Con, you know, with fans all come up and like, can you sit with pubic hair?
Someone's dressed as a can, someone's a giant hair. Can you take a picture with us? That's fantastic. This is good, fascinating things. I love hearing from Tom, but also when stuff like this breaks, I really get into hearing about it, and they can hear more, of course, at the Daily Tech News Show, which happens every day. Today, you got your hands full. That'll be fun. Looking forward to
that. Yeah, we got CE Week New York going on. So Andrea Smith, who's been organizing the TV coverage for that, is going to be on. Then we got Google I.O. happening, which is what I thought we were going to talk about today. Mm. And then we got this.
Yeah, Google I.O. starts today, is it?
Yeah, it starts at 9 a.m., the keynote, half an hour
from now. All right. Yeah. Well, watch for that, everybody. Big stuff coming from Google. Tom Merritt, Ace Detect on Twitter. He'll be at Nerdtacular next week.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And
bringing Merritt badges.
Are you really? You totally should. Why is that not a thing you've not done Merritt your whole badge. Life? You should
and
totally
ribbons.
Do that. Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Yeah. So see him there. And if you don't see him there, we'll be streaming it so you can see him there anyway. And then after that, we'll be back next week with Tom Merritt again. As always, Tom, thanks so much, man.
Thanks, you guys.
We'll see you later.
See you.
Bye.
All right. So, my groin hurts. So let's talk about emails.
Sure.
They're brought to you by
Night of the Living Bread. My youngest brother and his friends are making a horror comedy about GMO bread coming to life, and it's hungry for human flesh. They need some extra dough on Kickstarter to make it as awesome as possible. Shamble on over to bit.ly/nightbread. We hope you rise to the occasion, because, of course, it's the yeast you can do.
Oh, the yeast you can do. Hey, Stroke and Bleed.
That was a free one right there.
Yeah, it's pretty good. Hey, Stroke and Bleed. This is from Ryan, a.k.a. Zombie Doc. He's one of our doctory men.
Right.
He writes in all the time. He says, an aneurysm is a ballooning of a vessel or a blood vessel wall prone to pop and bleed. Think of it as very similar to what Scott's diverticula is in his colon. They can occur in any blood vessel, but usually arteries. A stroke is a lack of blood flow to the brain causing cell death. This can be due to a blood clot preventing flow downstream or a bleed also preventing flow downstream. Ruptured brain aneurysms cause strokes. Loving the show, though.
Okay.
Ryan. So there's some clarification from yesterday's stroke talk.
Thank you.
Stroke talk. That's a terrible segment. We'll never do it again. Gary also piped in and said this, Staphylococcus and bronchitis. Am I saying the first one right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, staphylococcus.
What is that anyway? Is it a staph infection?
Staph disease. Yeah, staph infection.
All right. Staph disease. That's what they have at the...
Staph disease.
Every time I go to a bad hotel or a Best Buy, it's staph disease. I recently did this poll that tells you how old you're getting, correlated with quirky stats like world events past and estimated distance travel between universes. A particular standout statistic was that on 17th of May in 1990, when I was just half a year old, the World Health Organization removed homosexuality from its list of diseases. About a quarter of a century ago, gay was a disease as defined by Webster's Dictionary. This is what it said. Quote, a disorder or incorrectly functioning organ, part, structure, or system in the body resulting from the effect of genetic or developmental errors, infection, poisons, nutritional deficiency or imbalance, toxicity, or unfavorable environmental factors. That's what they said gay people had. Let's see. There is a link to the survey. Scott will probably find something horrifying about how old he is. Anyway, that does seem crazy that it was 1990, as late as that they removed that as a disease, as defined as a disease. That's crazy to me.
Yeah, no kidding.
I would have said that would have been like the 70s or something.
Right.
What do I know?
Mm. If that, like older than that even.
Yeah, I have a gay friend who told me, I'm not going to use his name because I think he still listens and I don't want to use his name out of turn here,
sure,
but
sure,
he told me once that he says I get it. I says, you get what? He goes, I get why people have a natural bias, even if they're not mean-spirited about it, but that they feel like there's something quote-unquote wrong with me. And I said, what do you mean? He said, well, think about it, it isn't exactly quote-unquote normal. And I said, well, I still don't know what you mean. He says, it's not the usual thing for a dude with a wiener. I mean, this is kind of how he described it, to be into other men, because you can't reproduce. It goes against the whole reproductive cycle of the human genome. Like, you can't further the species when you're gay.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, okay. And he says, so I get it. I get why people think it's quote unquote not normal. And he says, in some ways, without all the hyperbole and the kind of emotional attachment to the word normal that we have, he says, in a very real way, it isn't normal. He says, it's not. I'm not normal in the truest scientific sense of normal. He says, I feel a way and naturally feel a way since the day I was born, and have predilection toward same sex that other people just don't have. And we are not going to be able to propagate the species if we are all like that. So it is, quote unquote, not normal. And when he said that, I thought, oh, well, I wonder how many other gay people say this. Because, again, we attach so much emotional baggage to the word normal.
Mm-hmm.
When I say if I said, oh, dude, gay people aren't normal, that sounds very derogatory. But he reminded me that, A, words take on meaning. It's like a Rolling Stone picking up moss or whatever.
Right, right.
They pick up meaning as you go. So the word normal no longer kind of means what it means, but he was a really interesting point. This was a while ago, and I don't know if he's changed his position on it or not, but, you know, his point was he totally gets why, you know, some people are like, well, it's not quote-unquote natural or normal, because he says, in his own words, it kind of isn't, in the sense that it doesn't mean it's deviant or
right, exactly.
Mean
it
or evil.
Mean
or
good or bad.
Yeah,
right.
It just means that he was born gay,
common.
And maybe another guy was born blind, and he said that. And I said, well, wait, you're saying it's a disorder like the blind guy? And he said, no, I'm not. He's just saying that's the way it is. He says it's more like this. You're born with the face you have and the eyes you have and the arms you have and the hair on your chest or whatever or the lack of hair on your chest. He says it's more like that. You're just, that's who you are.
That's right.
That's your makeup.
Well, makes sense.
So anyway, that was always an enlightening conversation, I thought, with him. And if he's listening, I don't know, maybe I can get him to talk more about it, but I don't know. Anyway, there's that. That was Gary, by the way, that sent that email.
Thanks,
next up, we got, hold on, who's this? Gil. Or is it Jill? Oh, wait till you hear this. Okay. Hello, yes. Scott and Brian. The time you have dedicated to this particular pronunciation of the letters G and I together hits particularly hard with me, since my name happens to start with a G-I. Gil is his name.
right? And I thought this is all in relation to the GIF versus GIF discussion.
Correct. I thought I'd share my experiences with how people pronounce my name. First, first is the 180% of people use the soft G example, Gil, right?
No.
Jill. Sorry, Jill.
Jill.
Hold on, I gotta play.
Jill.
It. I gotta play it now. How could we do the show and not play that?
Jill.
There it is. This is how people would say it, right? Oh, I don't have that anymore.
Oh, uh-huh.
What? I always have that. It's a rule. I can't get rid of Jill. Did I put it in a different place? Here it is. Jill.
Jill.
All right. So he's talking about
Jill.
All right.
Jill.
Not Barry.
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 Barry. So he says, oh, this is the one I like best. Oh, no, he's saying Gil for that first one. Because the next one he says.
The soft G is J.
Yeah, but the last one he says, but look in the next one, he says hard G example Jill. Maybe he's got him backwards.
Where do you see next hard paragraph. G example Jill?
He says, secondly, the one I mostly get is non-English and British speakers, the hard G example Jill.
Oh, then he's got him backwards. Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
Okay, so yeah, the soft G would be the J sound. The hard G would be G.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think he just has it backwards. I hear Jill and immediately think girl's name. But when I thought about it, particularly when I met a Nigerian coworker, the Jill pronunciation fits better with how European languages, particularly in French, naturally form their words. Mm-hmm. Lastly, the official pronunciation of my name and a great way to mess with people's heads, the he sound. Yes, H being Hispanic and named by my Spanish-speaking only grandmother, the G in my name is actually pronounced with a he sound, making the name sound like Gil, like that, Gil. So, if you think about it from a non-American English perspective, all the pronunciations of G-I are correct, and it just comes down to where you are. Despite your inability to pronounce my name properly, love the show. And he says, Gil is normally how you do it, or heel is what he prefers. He does not like
Jill.
All right.
Jill.
That's it. That's all our emails.
Yeah. And by the way, correction, because I talked about the King of Prussia Mall being, you know, one of the oldest malls. No, actually, King of Prussia Mall is actually bigger than the Mall of America.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's got about 2.79 million square feet, whereas the Mall of America has 2.78 million square feet.
Oh, wow.
Neither of these are even close to the top 10 largest malls in the world.
I'm guessing there's one in Dubai that kills them all or something.
There's one in China called the New South China Mall that has 7.1 million square feet and 2,350 shops.
Good Lord.
By comparison, the Mall of America has 520 shops.
Excuse me, where's the Orange Julius? You'll need to take a cab and half your afternoon to go get it.
Pretty much, yeah.
Twisted Pretzel or whatever the place is called. Good Lord. We're dumb Americans. What do we know?
Exactly.
That's it for emails. Thank you guys for sending them. TheMorningStream@gmail.com is the address you can send them to. You can go to our website, frogpants.com/TMS, on Twitter, MorningStream, Scott Johnson, and Coverville. And a note about programming tomorrow. I don't know this until then, but it's still saying that we have a scheduled internet outage for some construction across the street tomorrow. They're putting in a road just right over here, and they got to cut a bunch of stuff temporarily to get this trench dug and some pipes in, cement placed. And then it's supposed to not be all day. It's supposed to be a couple of hours, but it's supposed to be right when we'd be recording.
Of course.
I don't know until then if they delay it or something. That's great. We'll just do a show. So what I'll do is make sure if everybody's paying attention to Twitter, and we'll have someone in the chat room to let everybody know one way or the other. But if it doesn't happen, we'll let you know. But TMS PM should be on and good.
Right.
Should be
internet
no changes.
Fading.
Yeah.
Blood fading.
That's it, I think. You got anything? Okay. Oh, Coverville today. You got anything cool
there
coming up?
There will be a Coverville today. I just discovered during the show today that today is the 30th anniversary of the release of Purple Rain. So there will be a couple sets devoted to that. In addition to that, cover stories for Jeff Beck, who turned 70 this week, and OMD, lead singer of OMD, turned 55, I believe.
Oh.
Andy McCloskey.
He's getting there.
I'll have to double check my notes. But yeah, so OMD, Jeff Beck, and Purple Rain.
Oh, that sounds awesome. OMD, for those not in the familiar here, I got a song here for you. How about this one right here? That's a weird one. Orchestra
Maneuvers
in the Dark. How about Maiden?
No, If You Leave. Wow. You know.
About this one.
Oh, that's a good one.
Enola Gay. Is it Enola Gay? Is that the name?
It is Enola Gay.
Yeah.
Enola Gay.
Just listen to the 80s just dripping off of that.
God, I love that.
So good. Anyway, all right, we'll look forward to that. Coverville.com. Yeah. That's going to do it for us. Let's get the hell out of here with some music. What do you got for me today?
Sure. Jeremy from Eunice, Louisiana says, hey, guys, due to Scott's complaints, anytime the show comes up, I thought it would be great if you could find a cover of any song from one of my favorite shows of all time, How I Met Your Mother.
That
particularly one of the Robin Sparkles songs. Anytime you play it would be great. Whenever would be the most annoying to Scott. Signed, love the bro code. Jeez. Jeremy from Eunice,
thanks
Louisiana.
A lot, man. What's Eunice's motto? Eunice,
poke the bear.
All right, fine. This is a good time, as good a time as any to annoy me, so go for it.
Right. And what's funny is I didn't even make the connection, but all this mall talk that we've just had, this is perfect because Robin Sparkles, aka Robin Scherbatsky from How I Met Your Mother, played by Kobe Smulders, who made a fantastic Maria Hill in The Avengers. She's all great. Comes full circle. Recorded this Let's Go to the Mall song. It's covered right here by Good Morning Helen.
By the way, she totally holds up in The Avengers last night when I watched that.
Of course. Yeah. Oh, no dumb lines from Kobe Smulders.
Nope.
Huh?
She nailed it.
Okay.
Everybody so had all of their dumb one-liner Whedon moments all pulled off with grace and wonderfulness. But that one time.
Except for Black Widow.
Except for Black Widow, who I love in every other way. That's all I got to say about that. All right. Here it is. Let's play it. It's, whoops, I lost it. Let's Go to the Mall. And we're not going there. We're going away. So we'll see you tomorrow, hopefully in the morning, if not tomorrow afternoon for sure. Thanks everybody for being here. We'll see you then.
Okay. Come on, Jessica. Come on, Tori. Let's go to the mall, you won't be sorry. Put on your jelly bracelets and your cool graffiti coat. At the mall, having fun is what it's all about. I haven't done my homework yet, that's okay. You know how my parents get, whatever, I don't care. All my friends are gonna be there. Thank you.
is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Life's a joke. Shit burns!
You know what? She'd be a good Wonder Woman.